the red, red robin comes bopping along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing that old sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy.
Independent, totally biased, Hull Kingston Rovers. You are listening to the Red Robin podcast with Joe Appleyard and Chris Johnson.
Welcome to another episode of the Red Robin podcast. Freedom Day has been and gone, but Rugby League is still trapped in this never-ending cycle of madness and disappointment. In this episode, we will discuss the signings of Tom Garrett and Sam Wood, and also preview our last-minute trip to the south of France. We will also try and work out what's happening in Rugby League at both club and country level, and where the sport goes from here after another huge blow which saw Australia and New Zealand pull out of the World Cup. This is the Red Robin podcast with me, Joe Appleyard, and Chris Johnson. Enjoy the show, guys.
Chris, it's great to speak to you again, mate. Not the best circumstances. We've had a bit of a shit week, haven't we, for an Hull Kingston Rovers fan. What's happening with Rugby League at the minute, mate? We don't know what's happening week in, week out. It's so tough, isn't it? Because we love this sport, you know. We've followed Rovers for years now. And at the minute, you're falling out of love with it. I know I am, mate. It's a weird time, isn't it, and a weird world at the minute. And it doesn't help with everything that's going on with Rugby League.
No, I think, people tolerated last season, didn't they, because of COVID and the situation that we found ourselves in, not only as a sport, but as a country. So, you know, we tolerated what was happening last season and you know, we thought, you know, once St. Helens won the grand final, we'll put a full stop at the end of the season. And we had everything to look forward to in terms of this season, you know, raft of new signings, exciting signings, you know, looking forward to getting back into Craven Park, watching live Rugby League. And all that enthusiasm and excitement seems to have drained away at the moment, doesn't it? Because Rugby League's descending into a farce. And you know, today it's broke that the Rugby League World Cup's in doubt, you know, and this is on the back of Rovers, you know, to the credit, pitching up in France on Saturday when originally they were supposed to be playing St. Helens on Friday. And there's just a bit of a sour taste in the mouth at the moment because it's not what we signed up to, is it? It's not what we expected. It's not what we want. And the fact Rovers haven't played for, what is it, 5 weeks now? You know, it's just, you know, everyone's just shrugging the shoulders and blowing the cheeks out and going, you know, fucking hell, is what is going on with Rugby League at the moment?
It's just every day you just anticipating one of the journals to put there's another game in doubt, this has happened, you know, everyone's so negative and there's no reason why we shouldn't be, and it's so disappointing. And don't get me wrong, I understand why people have to, if you've got COVID, I do understand it, mate, that they can't play and all that, and I think that'll be like it for a long, long time. But the reason is, we were obviously supposed to play St. Helens. Fair play, they won the Challenge Cup. I put on our podcast, if we ever win the Challenge Cup, I'll be on the piss for about 5 weeks. So I understand why they did the open top parade and everyone like that, because that is totally acceptable. But how can they justify 24 hours later? St. Helens have got a 34, 35-man first team plus an academy. So you're talking nearly 50 players. They can't field a 17 to play Rovers. That's the annoying thing when you can go and do that. Life's getting back to normal. But 24 hours later, they put a statement out saying they can't play and everyone's self-isolating. These people, in the end, if you've got the vaccine or not, it's your choice. But surely, we can't be doing this anymore. Some one person gets it, so 17 people have to go off and self-isolate for 10 days. I know the cases are going up. I know, obviously, Freedom Day's happened and everything like that. But again, with the Olympics, that's on everyone's kicking off at the minute. A country's gone home. It's just all the time, how are we going to cope with this? And at the minute, Rugby League's going down the shit pan. I mean, we're missing Castleford again. They've stopped, and they said they might not be playing for 3 weeks, conveniently after Wembley, like there was the past few weeks when they cancelled the games. At the minute, it's just making it up day by day, mate, and it's such a shame. Where Rovers are, what, 6? It's really positive. I mean, the last time we played, we mentioned it was when England played Scotland in the Euros, and that seems years ago. So can't imagine what the players are like. But fair play to Rovers, Chris, because I know Tony Smith, Maguire, Hodgson, Stanley and the players, they were raring to go. We speak to James O'Brien often. He said they just want to play. They don't matter who, where, when. Ryan all put that. Rovers, game called off. We've signed up. We're heading to the south of France, mate. But unfortunately, there'll be no TV coverage, no radio coverage, and we'll just have to check on Twitter, which is really disappointing and quite upsetting. But Rovers are back this weekend, mate, so hopefully we can get the ball rolling again.
Yeah, and I'm just going to... Because this St. Helens thing, mate, it sort of pissed me off. And there's lots of Robins fans who are also pissed off, aren't they? You know, we've seen the reaction on social media, you know, and we've seen the pictures that were beamed around about St. Helens on the open top bus and players, you know, celebrating with each other. I'm just going to read out, mate, from this is what St. Helens, this is their statement they put out when the game was postponed. And it says, as per the RFL COVID protocols, the club lateral flow tested all of its squad before our trip to Wembley for the Betfred Challenge Cup final, with all the results coming back negative. Following the travel back from Wembley, the whole squad and coaching staff were then lateral flow tested again on arrival at the Totally Wicked Stadium on Monday before the club's homecoming parade that same evening. All the players and staff who were present on the homecoming bus parade returned negative lateral flow tests. One player who was not part of the 21-man squad at Wembley returned a positive lateral flow test. The club therefore made the sensible decision to then PCR test the whole squad and coaching staff, with the health and well-being of the players and their families being paramount. The PCR test then since returned a further two positive tests, which has subsequently led to a large number of the squad having to isolate through track and trace and close contacts. The club has therefore had more than seven of our top 25 players required to isolate, meaning the club has had to be the games had to be postponed under the COVID fixture protocols. So, you know, what they're saying is that the squad who travelled down, mate, and played were fine. It's someone who's not even been part of that group who's tested positive, and as a result, the whole squad's now been affected by it. And you think, well, if this is happening with this, where's the future of this game going? Where's this season heading? Because literally, the chances every game's going to be postponed at this rate if these are the measures that are in place. And as a supporter, it's frustrating because you can't make any plans for any games whatsoever. I've got tickets to go see Lee in Newcastle at Magic Weekend. At the moment, mate, that's got to be in doubt, because come September, we're not going to be in a stronger position. We're going to be in an even weaker position. So that the whole competition's is descending into farce, mate. And you know, it worries me whether Rovers are actually going to get the required number of fixtures in to actually qualify for the playoffs, just on games played, let alone the actual results of them.
Well, I think, was it last season, they said the odds play a certain amount, then Catalan played about 13, didn't they? And they still went in the playoffs. It's just one of them things you read. I'm reading it now, what you've just read out, man. How much longer? Of course, they're going to be close contacts. They can train together and play rugby league together. How many times can somebody, fair enough, them three people who have got COVID, whoever it is, it might be the coaching staff or players, fair enough, they have to self-isolate, they can't train, they can't play. Surely that can't justify 35 players not being able to play. And I just look like the fact that it's our top 25 players, they can just make it up. I mean, you can put, oh yeah, it was Lachlan Coe, it was Roby, it was Naguama. You know, the RFL aren't doing any punishments. I mean, they say this 24-0. Surely this justifies Rovers getting the 24-0 victory, because if Rovers had done that, if Rovers had been in a nightclub or something, and then there'd have been photos of them, say, and then all our players would have got COVID again, we'd have broke the rules, we'd have broke the protocols. I know they've won the Challenge Cup, it's great. Yeah, you'd be buzzing, you know, and I hope we get to see that in the next few years, wherever it may be, with all Kingston Rovers. But you've got to be realistic and go, could we have done it because of COVID? We've still got a season to finish. And at the minute, Rovers now are five games behind the rest of the Super League. Now six, because, yeah, we're playing Catalan, but we've still got to play St. Helens twice again, and it's backing that up. We've got to play Hull, we've got to play Warrington. So I think Rovers should have been awarded the 24-0 victory. Personally, mate, just like a few teams did when Castleford did it before Wembley, surely, because then what else can you do? You can just get away with murder.
Yeah, and obviously the drive was to get the Challenge Cup final played, wasn't it? And you've seen the consequences of that now, with the fact that Castleford are saying that their next three games are in doubt, the fact that
Castleford,
St. Helens are not able to play the subsequent fixture. So, you know, the, conspiracy theories are everywhere, aren't they? But they've obviously done the best to get that game played. And what they've done is throw caution to the wind and got that game played. And basically now we're feeling the after effects of it because, you know, we're not able to play St. Helens. But credit to the club, Joe. They've made it work, haven't they? They're desperate for a game and they've put their hand up to fly over to France at such short notice just so they can get a game played. So huge raps to the players, coaching staff and the club for making this happen. But no fucker's going to be able to watch it.
No, you know how angry I get, mate, if I can't watch a game. I'm absolutely... we're going to Wolf City, aren't we, on Saturday? But at Scunthorpe, it won't be the same as them watching Rovers, mate. I was really looking forward to travelling to Saints. And obviously, when it got announced we was playing Catalan, yeah, that's brilliant. But sure, it's such a shame. There's no stream. There's nothing. I mean, even on the Fire Sticks, the French TV and stuff, there's nothing going to be on there. Umbersad can't go. James O'Brien, so the Daily Mail out there. It's literally, we're going to be relying on tweets update, which is... You know, it's not the best, mate. But what can we do? There's no point fighting it. I'm sure if Rovers could have put the game on, they would have done. I think it's out their hands. It'll be to do with BN and Skywater, that deal. But yeah, we're going to play the league leaders, mate. I saw what Ryan Hall put about his first game in 5 weeks. It'll be in 36 degree heat. And this is the team that Hulkingston Rovers will be playing. So Steve McNamara has announced their 21-man squad. Joe Tomkins and James Maloney, Mickey McAlorum and Jason Battieri will miss out. But this is the 21. It's Arthur Morg, Tom Davis, Samson Ilangi, Dean Ware, Fawad Yaha, Josh Drinkwater, Gil Dudson, Julian Busquet, Matt Whitley, Mike McMeekin and Benjamin Garcia, Alrig de Costa, Benjamin Julian, Paul Segura, Mikel Goudemon, Joe Chan, Sam Cassiano, Sam Tomkins, Jordan Desiree, Cesar Rogue and Romain Franco. I mean, Catalan are really good this year, mate. I've always liked him. I think Sam Tomkins, one of the best players in the league for me. I just love the way he plays. That span, him and Maloney and Tom Drinkwater. They've got young Arthur Morgo. He's going to be a well-beater, mate. The way he runs, he's really similar to Rob Burrow. His stature, his stance. And I think he's going to be a well-beater in a few years. We know what we're going to get. We're going to have an hostile crowd. There's not going to be any Rovers fans there. Not going to be any Rovers fans watching. So we're just relying on tweets, mate. But I think you've got to cope with the middle, haven't we? One, we'd speak about Rovers in a few minutes. We're fully fit. We've got everyone back, obviously, barring Elliot Minchella and Ethan Ryan. But apart from that, mate, Rovers looking strong. For you, where's the weakness in this Catalan side? Because they're beating teams comfortably, especially at the Stade Gilbert Brutis.
Yeah, mate. You know what? I think they've, you know, for a few seasons now, haven't they? They've sort of flattered to deceive. They've been, you know, able to beat anyone on the day, but they've also been susceptible to, you know, some crazy defeats against teams who have managed to put points past them that you'd never think should or would be able to. But this season, Steve McNamara seems to have got the blend right, doesn't he? They've got some real good French kids in there, backed up by, you know, some real experienced Super League players. And that blend seems to be really working for them at the moment. And they're being led around the pitch superbly by, you know, Drinkwater, Maloney, Sam Tomkins is probably having one of his best seasons to date. So, you know, they're a formidable outfit. And to be fair, mate, I don't really see that many weaknesses in that side. You know, I think what we need to be focused on is our strength, and our strength is that we've got, apart from Ethan Ryan and Elliot Minchella, a fully fit squad, and it's exciting, mate. I'm gutted we're not watching it because this is our strongest team that we could possibly, our strongest squad we could possibly name, apart from them two exceptions, and we're not going to see him, and it's hurts because we put in a great performance against Wigan, you know, back to the wall performance. Not many of us expected them to come away with a result, especially when we saw the lineup and the late changes that had to be made. And we're going to miss this one when potentially this could be a real humdinger of a game, mate. It could be a real, really good game. And I think Rovers will rise to the challenge. I think they're prepped, they're primed, they're fit, they're ready to go. So it's galling, but probably take you back to that first game of the season, mate. And our Rovers better than, obviously, that 29-28 defeat that we suffered against the Catalan Dragons. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we are. I mean, we have backs to the walls, isn't it? 5 weeks will take a lot out of you. Obviously, they'll be fit. They're lacking a bit of match fitness. Catalan are on a roll. So everything does point to a Catalans victory, and it's kind of, I never mean this because I always kick off when people say it, but a lot of people will see this as not a free ride as such, but no one's expecting Rovers to go and win. Everyone, you know, with all the issues that we've had and stuff, people are praising us for going. So we've got no pressure. We go and play our game. Abdul's back. You know, you've got Vettier who's back in the team, Brad Takaranga, I'll name 21 in a minute. But yeah, nothing to fear, mate. I think we just go over, give a good account of ourselves. Hopefully we can get the result. If not, we just need to get ourselves back to Eastall, fully fit. We don't want any injuries because we've got about 12 games after this to fit in about 8-9 weeks. Obviously, we don't know if they're going to extend the season due to what happens with the World Cup, which we'll discuss later in the podcast, mate. But yeah, these are the 21 that Tony Smith named. So it's Adam Quinlan, obviously the first game since it was announced he's leaving the club, getting replaced by Lachlan Coote. Ben Crooks, Greg Minikin, Sean Kenny-Dowell and Ryan Hall. Jordan Abdul, Albert Vette and Matt Parcell, Corbin Sims, Brad Takarangi and Kane Lynette, with Dean Hadley, Jez Litton, George Lawler, George King and Matty Staughton. And the rest is Rowan Milnes, Will Maher, Louis Johnson, Mus Mustafa and Jimmy Kinehorse. This stage of the year is always weird anyhow, mate, isn't it? We've still got a few people playing for contracts. I think the biggest ones, I mean, obviously Will Dagger's at Fev. Will he get another deal? I don't know. But you've got Cruxy there who says he wants to stay. He hasn't been offered the deal yet. Minikin is going to Castleford, we believe, same as George Lawler. We can't imagine Carnos getting another deal. So for me, at the minute, I think we stay with the same team we did. Obviously, with Abdul coming back in, Takarangi will go back into the centre with Cruxy. That left-hand side's vital. But yeah, just looking forward to ticking a game off, I think, mate. Obviously, it's hard. We're not going to get up for it because there'll be no pre-match anything. You won't see any tweets and stuff. I imagine it'll be very basic. I think it'll just be a small team that's going over with the players. So it'll be a day trip. I'm sure they'll be setting off for Humberside early doors like they always used to. So it's going to be weird, but we have to get on with it. I'm hoping Rovers pick up the 2 points and the points percentage, but I am hoping we can get a few games under our belts now because I think we've got Salford, then we've got Lee. So we've got winnable games coming up, mate. And like I said, we've got to play another 8 games to cement ourselves in a playoff spot. Obviously, we're 6, but at the minute, the rule is if we haven't played 18 due to whatever reasons, we can't participate in the playoffs if we did get there. So yeah, I'm excited, mate. I just want us to play. Hopefully, no massive issues with COVID. Have a safe flight over. And we'll see. Yeah, it's a hard, mate, isn't it, when you're not going or you can't watch? I think it'll literally be the first game I can't remember the last game I didn't watch. So it's good. Yeah, I'm not happy about it, but at least I'll be spending me Saturday with you in sunny Scunny.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know if that's better or worse, to be honest, mate. But what I want to bring your attention to is obviously the halfback situation, mate, and you know, against Wigan, we had a patched up partnership there, didn't we, in Takarangi and Mikey Lewis lining up. Do you think Tony Smith's going to, obviously, Mikey Lewis is at York, played an outstanding game, didn't he, against Featherstone, and special mention also to Craig Hall, who came away with the Ray French trophy for his performance, you know, really ripping it up in the championship. So good to see them boys playing. But obviously, Takarangi lined up at halfback, didn't he? Do you think he will go back to second row? Or do you think he will be halfback?
Centre. Lynette and Johnson will be my second rows, I believe. Takarangi and Sean Kenny-Dowell will be in the centres. I think Milnes and Abdul will start. But yeah, I think that's what he'll do. Obviously, we saw Takarangi, didn't we, in the friendly against Cass at halfback, and it was like, oh, Jesus Christ, you know, been blowing smoke up the wrong position. For this guy, but that ball to Ben Crooks, you know, it seems a lifetime ago now, but him and Mikey played a blinder at Wigan, the full team did. But I do believe with Abdul and Milnes, they are building some, but it's good, isn't it? I mean, you've got Mikey Lewis, and what I liked about him was his aggression. You know, Featherstone, massive angry pack, that's what they base themselves on. You know, they're quite old school in the way they play. You know, give it to you, they want to get in your faces. And I thought Mikey controlled that. He won 2 penalties for winding players up, a bit like what Danny Maguire used to do, getting on the ref's side, taking his time. And that's why, at the moment, as much as I want Mikey to be our halfback with Jordan Abdul, and I do think overall he has probably got a bit more potential to succeed than Rome Milnes at Hull KR, just because of where he's from and the style of play he does. If he can get them little things right while he's playing in the second tier, and he's played at Wembley, do you know what I mean? He's the only Rovers player that'll play at Wembley this year, mate, at what, 20? So that's a massive step for him. I thought he was in contention to win man of the match. I think if York had won, he was definitely their player of the match. He picked up a try, but that's great. Keep him ticking along at York. You know, you've got two halfbacks are ripping it up for Bradford and York with Joe Keyes and Mikey Lewis. So really good signs. But coming back to the club, obviously, I think Milnes and Abdul will start at halfback. But it's tough, but it's good that we're speaking about it. And I think Mikey will learn a lot from that Wembley game. And let's hope it's not the last time he plays at Wembley. And let's hope he's wearing red and white instead of yellow and black next time he plays, mate. But I thought it was outstanding. It was a really good game. Really good game. I thought it was better than the Challenge Cup final.
Yeah, it was insane, wasn't it? And you know, it was great to see, you know, a Rovers old boy and a current Rovers player, you know, performing on the big stage. But I'm excited about this this forward pack we've got at Rovers. And I think, you know, seeing Vette, Sims, you know, Lawler, King, I think that Catalan are going to be in for maybe a bit of a bruising, you know, because I think these are going to be fit lads who've got a lot to prove. And you know, Vette, he's been getting a bit of criticism, hasn't he? People are saying, oh, you know, when we talk about freeing up overseas spots, etc., Vette, you know, get rid. And I think people are maybe being a bit harsh with him because, yes.
Would you start him, Chris, in the heat? Would you do get 20 minutes out with him?
No, well, if you remember that first game against Catalan, it was big build-up on it, Vette versus Cassiano, yeah. You know, and about matching them. So you think, well, do you continue with that? Do you match them up? And because realistically, even though Vette, you know, hopefully he's had, you know, a lot of work under his belt now, and he should be nearing close to, you know, a really decent level of fitness, he's still only going to be an impact player, isn't he? You're still only going to get, what, 40 minutes out of him? 50 maybe? So I don't see him starting, mate. I think we're going to go, I think we'd start with Lawler and King, and you'll see Sims and Vette come on as your impact players.
Yeah, it's a weird one, Vette, because the photos they put on, I don't think the training gear does it, like, gives him any leaning, and he looks a massive kid, like his pal on. But like I say, he lives near us, doesn't he, on Kingsman stuff. I saw him the other day. He's trimmed, you know, people, I mean, I wear a
armour. Was he coming out of Copeland's again with four sausage rolls?
No, that was about 2 months ago. I think it was when he was injured. He's back to fitness now. I think he's just having a chicken bake, a bit of protein. So, but no, I mean, I want Vette. I really want him to kick on, and I want to give him a chance and stuff. Obviously, that is the rumour, isn't it? At the minute, everyone's saying, if you want Austin, you know, Vette is going to go. And Vette might not want to go, doesn't it? You know, his daughters are settled into primary school now. If you see on Instagram, he's got a good bond with Takarangi. So we'll see. I mean, I want to keep that cohort in the middle, and it's nice that we've finally got a pack to talk about. And that probably leads us on to a really good topic next, is with our new signings. And if we'll start on the prop forward, obviously last week, guys, it was announced that we'd sign Tom Garrett and Sam Wood. We'll talk about Tom Garrett first. So this was the statement from the club. So it said, Hull Kingston Rovers are excited to announce the signing of prop forward Tom Garrett from the Dewsbury Rams. The sign for an undisclosed fee. So obviously Rovers have given some money to the Rams. He'll arrive at Hull College Craven Park on a two-year deal from next season. He's 6'5". The 26-year-old is relishing the challenge ahead and looking forward to linking up with the Robins next season. Do you know what, mate? It's hard because you don't know much about the Championship because it's not really televised. But the beauty of this Our League app, and especially with the Fire Sticks, you get all the games. And I watched the Batley and Dewsbury game the day before, and he's playing in a very poor Dewsbury team. You know, let's not take that away. I don't want to be horrible to him, but, you know, they're not the best. And he played 80 minutes at prop forward there, the Wallen Derby. You know, it's intense. There was up for it. There was a crowd there. It was good to see that derby get back. It is one of the proper northern derbies of rugby league. And I thought there was a rumour that would sign someone from Dewsbury, a young forward. We didn't know who it was at the time. And I remember thinking, I hope it's this kid. You know, he runs. He's hard as nails. He's built like a brick shithouse. 6'5", mate. And he can do 80 minutes. He's got an engine on him. I think there was a few clubs after him, a few Yorkshire-based clubs after him, after, you know, the likes of Wakefield and Cass. I think he's chose to come to Wolkingston Rovers. And he might be an hidden gem. You know, he's got all the characteristics of a Super League prop. Can he do it in next season? We'll see. But I'm really excited about this because people are saying, oh, never heard of him, rubbish signing. People thought he was saying it was going to be this marquee player, and a few bin dippers, you know, were giving it big ones about him, saying you're having to sign people from the Championship. I think he's going to cause some issues next year in Alpaca. I'm really looking forward to seeing him, mate. I know you haven't seen much of him, same as me, but he'll be 26, 27, so he'll be in his prime for a prop. Signed him on a 2-year deal. It won't be on massive wages. He's an English forward, really good, no injury record. Fingers crossed he can kick on.
Yeah, and I think that's somewhat worth emphasising that, you know, and Lee Greenwood, obviously his coach at Dewsbury, has said, is that, you know, we're signing a player who's coming in to play. We're not signing a young player who we're taking a chance on, and he's going to take a few years to grow. You know, the fact he's 26 means that he's coming, and he's coming to challenge the current forwards, isn't he? Or the ones we return for next season. And you look at Lawler going out to Cass at the end of the season, and you think, well, is this just a ready-made replacement to come in and fit in? So it's maybe a smart bit of business, because obviously we talk about salary, we talk about money, and, you know, Rovers have gone big in some of the signings at the start of this season, and you know, Lachlan Cook coming in, he's not going to be on small money, so Rovers have had to be smart in where they've recruited from, and, you know, it's all pointing to a positive signing here, isn't it? And someone who's going to come in and be ready-made to play in Super League. It'll probably take a few weeks to get up to speed, but being in that full-time environment, being coached by Tony Smith, being around, you know, Corbin Sims, Albert Vette, George King, it's only going to make him a better player. So I'm really excited about this one, mate, because I think hopefully, you know, we've got a good player in our hands here, and someone who's going to contribute to Rovers from the get-go.
I think, and that's the thing as well, with obviously Frankie Alton, who's coming from Feb, and now Tom Garrett. Yes, they're in the Championship, you know, yes, they're not Super League players yet, but the talk is, I mean, there's that Dewsbury page who has us on social media. Every game, when you look back now, it's always man of the match was Tom Garrett. He's I think he's picked up 5 already this season. You know, he's played every minute. He rarely goes, you know, he's never starting on the bench. He starts, he does 80 minutes, and I think he's ready to go. He knows what it means. He spoke to Tony. Said he's a very ambitious young man where he's got maturity, what you need as a prop forward, and he's definitely going into the prime of his career. And he'll be ready for a full-time environment. He's not going to be working, is he? He'll be a full-time player. His fitness will only get better. He'll be in the gym doing proper strength and con. So, yeah, really looking forward to seeing Tom Garrett play. Let's hope he has a good season with Dewsbury the remainder. Let's hope he keeps injury-free. And then the next signing, mate, a few days later, which we thought was going to be announced when Garrett was Sam Wood, which I'm really happy about. I mean, you're talking that Minikin's going to go to Cass. You obviously will watch Huddersfield a lot. Sam Wood will be playing tonight against Hull FC when we film this. Obviously, it's going out on Thursday. He'll be playing. And obviously, it was announced. Hull Kingston Rovers are delighted to announce the signing of Huddersfield Giants utility back Sam Wood on a 1-year deal from 2022. Highly thought of in West Yorkshire, Wood brings both Super League experience and valuable versatility to Craven Park. He's only 24, mate. He's picked up 82 career appearances for Huddersfield and Dewsbury. He's been at Newcastle as well. 6'4", he can play in the pack, outside back, half back. It all suits, mate, and it's a great deal. I mean, it's a 1 year, so he's already out of contract for the end of next season, but we'll see. That might be one of them things. We'll see how he goes. You know, he's an Huddersfield lad. He's moving out of his comfort zone. He's moving on because I think Huddersfield are trying to go big, aren't they? And they want to sign a few players with Caesar leaving. I think they're getting lower Hayer, aren't they? They're trying to get Chris Hill. So, Sam Wood coming, mate. I really like him. I mean, I watched their game against Wigan the other week on the Our League app. He played halfback, picked up an assist, I believe, and a try. So, really good. He's young. Again, he don't class on the quarter. He can play in the three-quarter line. He can play in the halves. He can play in the pack. So, it's a great bit of business. Both Garrett, Halton, obviously Coote as well, and now Sam Wood. 4 really exciting signings in all different perspectives and for all different reasons, mate. But Sam Wood, leaving Huddersfield, he'll be playing in red and white next year.
Yeah, and he's not leaving Huddersfield because they wanted to get rid of him.
No, they offered him a deal.
Exactly, mate. Well, it's a bit like Lachlan Coote. It's a salary cap, and to bring players in, you've got to move people out and what have you. And, you know, he's another player who Huddersfield wanted to keep, but they've had to let him go. And I think that's telling sometimes. It tells you the type of player you get in when the club is coming from, want to retain him. Because, you know, often Rovers have got players who have been let go out of, you know, let you know, the contracts have run out or they've been let go and they've been floundering around and not being able to find a club and we've picked them up. Well, you know, we're signing players from clubs and actually then clubs want to retain them. So it shows the draw of Hull Kingston Rovers and Tony Smith. It shows you where the club's going, the direction, how we're able to sell the vision and you know, how we're able to sell the club to these players. And, you know, he's a player who's going to come in and another one, he ain't coming in to be, you know, he won't want to be a reserve player. He'll want to be making a claim for a first team jersey. So another one who's really excited, mate. And, you know, this season's not finished yet, but already he's starting to, you know, the anticipation's growing for next season because we've already got a talented bunch of players now. And you know, we've seems to be getting a sprinkling of further talent. And the thing is with Wood and you know, Ian Watson said is what a good player is he around the camp. And I think that's been really key to Rovers is that we seem to be signing good people, good team players, you know, and that's only going to bode well for the future because as important as it is what happens on the pitch, a lot of that happens because of the relationships formed away from it and the connectivity and the community that these players are able to build around them. So exciting times, mate. I'm really chuffed with this.
Yeah, and like you said, I think all of them, for obvious reasons, for Garrett and Halton, when there was a release, when they found out they was moving to Rovers, their fans were like, yeah, can see it, deserves to be in Super League. We're gutted the going, but he's not going to turn down a Super League club. When Lachlan Coote left, the Saints fans, you know, there was gutted. You know, he made a few mistakes in the Challenge Cup final, but he's still just outstanding player, isn't he? He just runs the show. I think I can't wait to see him link up with our halves next year. And then Matt Parcell and Jez, mate, that span's looking really good. And then with Sam Wood, everyone gutted from Huddersfield. Ian Watson literally just came out and said, I won't lie to you. You know, we offered the deal, but what can you do? It's salary cap reasons. And he sees that he wants to move over to Rovers with Tony Smith, who I think is a massive, you know, vital reason why we're getting these players, him and Danny Maguire and everyone involved. As shit as it is at the moment, mate, and we've played 10 games, we're sitting six, we're not the finished package at the minute, but how good is it already? We've signed four players by the middle of July. We know not many people are going to be leaving. I mean, Carnos is probably going, isn't he? Quinlan's going, Owen Harrison's going, George. So then you've got the likes of Mus Mustafa. I know he hasn't played much, but we can take him next year on a permanent deal.
I think the writing's on the wall for him as well. I think he's out of contract. So I think.
Yeah, well, I was just going to move on to that, mate. What do you think of Wilmar? Because do you know what? I just think he's, what is he, 6'6", 6'7"? People, he's one of them because you never want to come out. And he never don't give 110%. I'm not saying he doesn't, he don't go on and want to play for Rovers. I just feel like you look at what Walmsley does and you look at what these big forwards do and then you get him who kind of puts the handbrake on and he's not very, he's a bit of a gentle giant, isn't he? And I feel like Wilmar, for me, I'm not that fussed if he's not with us next year. I think he'll do very well. I think he could get in a Super League team, you know. I think he could go play for Lee or Salford or he'd definitely fit in at a Fev or a lower team in the a middle top team in the Championship, sorry. But for me, he might get a one-year deal, I don't know. But at the minute, mate, he doesn't set the world alight. When he was at Cass, I always remember him and I thought, oh, he's got the making of something here. You know, he was when Walmsley was coming up at Saints, them type of players, that 6 foot six, 6 foot seven, just built like a brick shit off, just run as hard as you can and tackle as hard as you can. And at the minute, Will Mize, what, 25, 26? He's an established player now and he's still not producing that type of performances for me. So for me, mate, I don't know. There's been nothing. I don't know if he's signing or not. Sometimes you understand. And, you know, I do believe Carnos and all them lot will be moving on, like I've said. But for you, mate, do you think Mar's gone and do you want him to stay another year? I guess he's another number. He's another forward. It won't do us the worst now because he won't be on mega, mega books. But I do believe if he goes, it's not the end of the world for Hull Kingston Rovers.
Yeah, I think it comes down to the numbers game, mate. And I think you look at Frankie Alton, you look at, Garrett coming in, you know, Is Mar going to fit with there? And the fact is out of contract.
Remember, Michella's back as well.
Yeah, Michella. So, you know, simple numbers says that game time is going to be limited, isn't it? So I can see him going. But what I would say is he's been okay this season. Obviously, I understand what you're saying. And he's not that explosive forward that we all love to see. But he has got some nice attributes to his game. I think his offload's got better. And like you said, mate, he never gives less than 110%, and that's all you can ask for. And I think now, you know, if you see him on the team sheet, you don't have that apprehension that you might have had previously, because he's put in some decent spells and some decent performances. Will he play against Catalan? What do you think?
Yeah, I think he likes him on the bench, doesn't he? I mean, I'm looking. Let us have a look at the team. Yeah, maybe. I mean, because Kano sometimes goes on the bench, but I just feel now like Abdul's back and Takarangi, that'll obviously free up space for on the bench. Jez will be on the bench, won't he? Vette will be on the bench. Sims will be on the bench. So for me, no, I think Man might drop out for me. What about you?
Yeah, I don't think he'll be named in the squad for the game, mate.
No. But yeah, so exciting times, mate. You know, all the it's looking good, and that's what I really like, that we're moving on. We already know who's going to be here. We already know who's not. We're not clutching at straws trying to grab people in, you know, December. And no disrespect to our team last season. That's probably why we won 3 games, as shit as the year was. Tony Smith couldn't build his team, and now we're seeing Tony Smith and Danny Maguire's players. Now Paul Larkin's in, them three are all the head of recruitment. See, I know that's Maguire's official title alongside assistant manager, assistant coach. But yeah, so it's really positive signs, mate, and I can't wait to see them all in red and white next year. But there was a bit of news, mate, and we are going to get this guy on the show in the next few weeks when the dust has settled. We did want to have him a few weeks ago, but obviously when he was contracted to the club. Bit of a weird one, mate, but expected. Last week, they announced that the club has confirmed that under-16s coach Ben Kakane has left the club by mutual consent. And this was for, obviously, his live videos, mate, on about the RFL, about COVID. He's a very opinionated guy. You know, it's cost him his job sometimes. It's cost him his relationships with the club. He's learned from his mistakes. He was always a daft lad. He went and then he came back. He matured a bit. He's been really good with Jason Nevett and John Bastien. I think he's a great coach to have around. He loves that club. But unfortunately, with the RFL, they've, you know, kind of kicked him out the door, haven't they, and said, look, we can't have this anymore. So Ben Kakane has left Hull Kingston Rovers. I think that's not just a massive loss for the club, but them young kids, because you won't get a more enthusiastic guy. Yes, I know he has his opinions, and sometimes, I don't agree with him. People don't. But I think that the bloke who he is, what he done for the club over the years, and it's just a shame that someone like him has to leave, mate. And I am looking forward to getting him on the show. Obviously, it's going to have a laugh. We're going to speak about his playing days, but we're also going to speak about what's happened now, what's happening with the RFL, because we know we'll get the truth out of Ben Kakane. And it's a shame, but unfortunately, you know, he's left the club by mutual consent. It was sad that the club didn't do a statement or a thanks or anything, because I thought they could have done that, even he left on dodgy circumstances.
Yeah, and obviously he's settled in the area. You know, he bought into, you know, what Rovers were about. He loves the fans. You know, he's had, you know, many different, he's left a legacy at the club, hasn't he, because of his spells here. And it's a shame that this one's had to come to an abrupt end because of something he's said and something that actually might not be that bad in terms of what he has said, which is why he's obviously challenging the RFL. I think Rovers were probably put into a little bit of a difficult position. And what I will say is Ben Kakane's got no axe to grind with Hull Kingston Rovers. He understands the decision. He's left on great terms. So, you know, I fully expect to see him back at Craven Park when fans are allowed back in, or we get the chance to watch a game, because he's an Hull Kingston Rovers supporter. And, you know, he was doing a good job with them under-16s. He built up a good partnership with Bastien and with Neverton, and they seem to be getting that academy moving. So it's a shame that he's had to leave, mate, because not only is he a Rovers legend, but he was actually, you know, doing some really good work with our up-and-coming talent. So it's just a bit sad and a bit bitter, and hopefully Ben's proved right, and, you know, it might not be long before he's back at Hull Kingston Rovers, because I'm sure the door's always open for him once all this nonsense is sorted.
Let's hope so, mate. And Jason Nevett, his coach and one of his best mates, a player as well, together for years, put on Twitter, sorry to see you leave, Ben Kakane. Thanks for all your help with the academy these last couple of years. You are as tenacious as a coach as you was as a player. Good luck, mate. And that's the thing. He was a young coach coming through. You never know. I think in the future he could have been one of the assistants, or you don't know, do you? You get the coaching badges. He can grow and develop. Think he'll look what
he's. Can you imagine him in front of the Sky cameras?
Well, I know. I was going to say. him and Stan. But yeah, it's sad, mate. But again, he has, obviously you messaged him, didn't you, when it happened and said, I know that we'll wait until the dust settles, and he's agreed to come on the show. It's not going to be a heritage cast as such. I mean, it is. We're going to speak about all his time, but it'll be good to speak about that as well, mate, because I know he'll definitely have his opinions.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll be able to bring that very soon.
Yeah, definitely, mate. And before we do our tipping league, pal, we will finish on the big topic of today, on obviously Thursday. It was announced this morning that the Rugby League World Cup, note the disappointing statement made by the Australian and New Zealand Rugby League Federation Board, which may have wide-ranging implications for international rugby league. The World Cup were informed 4 minutes before the statements went out, and there will continue the discussions with all the stakeholders to agree on the best way forward, which means Australia and New Zealand will not travel over to England for the World Cup. So one of the two favourites, probably, you know, the best teams, let's be fair, with Australia, definitely them. They're not going to be in the World Cup, mate, and it's put a massive, massive downer on international rugby league. All the Aussies are fuming, you know. We mentioned that they take state of origin a bit more serious than international, and they still do, but I think what the farce is, on the same day as the Rugby Union have just put a tour on of England that month in October, the cricket team are going to Bangladesh, the women's rugby team, the Rugby Union team, they're going to Europe, and now they're saying it's because of safety. I don't know what to think of it, mate. I'm really disappointed, because I feel like the World Cup's going to be a bit shite now anyhow. It's a weird one, isn't it, mate? You can understand it, but you can't as well. You know, over there, they're not that, especially Aussies, you know, they don't see the international stage as a big deal. But for us, we love England, don't we? We want to go watch them. And now there's massive implications. And is the World Cup even going to happen?
Well, I mean, I think what's interesting, and I wonder if there's any legs in this, mate, because a lot of the players in the NRL are coming out and saying that they want to play.
Yeah.
And we had, obviously, you know, one of our most popular heritage cast, Rovers legend Clint Newton, who's the... Is he the CEO of the Players Association?
Player Welfare, yeah.
Yeah, over in Australia, and they're saying that they need to get involved, because actually the players are saying they want to play. It's the governing body who's put a halt to it. And it seems to be a bit of a power battle, doesn't it, between the NRL trying to dictate to International Rugby League what can happen and what can't. And obviously, fundamentally, the NRL and Australian Rugby League are trying to protect their competition and reduce the impact of players catching COVID and having to isolate when they come back, all this stuff. And it's self-serving. They're looking after their own competition, and they're not looking at the wider game. And I think that, obviously, New Zealand, they just go with whatever Australia say, because obviously their involvement in the NRL and the reliance on TV money and stuff from them. And I fully expect to see, you know, Fiji, Papua New Guinea, Samoa, Tonga, I think they'll follow suit as well, because if Australia and New Zealand can't come, and they're protecting the players, well, where's Papua New Guinea, where's Samoa, where's Fiji, where's their main pool of players coming from? The same competitions. So I fully expect them to withdraw. And if they withdraw, that there is no competition, is there? There is no World Cup. So it's sad, mate. It's sad. It's a sign of the times. You know, it's a sad indictment, really, of the confidence that Australia and New Zealand have in the rugby league authorities to provide a secure competition when so many other sports can. We've seen it in cricket, we've seen it in rugby union, we've seen it in football. You know, players are able to travel to other countries, fulfill fixtures and return home, stay safe, have minimal COVID tests, positive tests. But for whatever reason, the Australian Rugby League, New Zealand Rugby League don't feel that it'll happen in this country, hence why they took the decision to withdraw. But I think there's some legs in this. I don't think it'll be the end.
Do you think if it does get called off sooner rather than later, surely the RFL have got to extend the Super League, and then we don't have to worry about all this? And yet, if a game gets called off, it's shite. But we know we've still got until like the end of or middle of October, whatever, to play it. Do you see that happening? We put it out, didn't we? And everyone's going, it's the RFL. There's no common sense. They're never going to do that. But surely, mate, with Rovers having to play 5 games to catch up, teams having to play 3 or 4, if this World Cup gets called off soon, the Super League's got to be extended, surely.
Yeah, well, you think that, mate. It's a logical conclusion to make, isn't it? But, you know, you don't know about the fine detailing, contracts signed behind closed doors, TV deals, hiring venues for finals. At the end of the day, mate, we still haven't sorted promotion and relegation from Super League this season. No. So I know what you're saying about what the logical thing to do is, but who knows? Because at the moment we seem to be making up the competition as we go along, and I think it'd be great if we could extend the competition. But does that give teams who have maybe took the piss a bit, does that give them extra advantage to play games? I don't know. Does it reward people who are not going maybe above and beyond to make sure they can get a squad out? Does it reward them? I don't know, mate. I don't know. All I want is a credible competition. I want a Rugby League World Cup at the end of the year. I want a credible Super League competition. I want Rovers to be in the playoffs. But it's just a bit sour, isn't it? I think over the next few days there's going to be a bit of mudslinging, isn't there, between people, and you know the Aussies are outspoken about it, aren't we? You know, I get sick of listening to some of the Aussies preaching to us about, you know, player welfare and all stuff like that when other sports are quite able to facilitate travelling abroad. So we'll see, mate. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, isn't it? Well, I'm sure in the next few months or so we will have our answers. There's all them topics in there, like you mentioned there, relegation, promotion. But
what we'll say, Joe, would you want a World Cup without Australia and New Zealand in it?
Probably not, because I think people are going, yeah, it's great, nice one, but you don't want to win a king tournament without playing the best teams. You know what I mean? You want to be there on merit, and you want to be beating teams and getting to the final. We want England to win the World Cup by beating the top nations. I mean, they're saying Serbia and USA are going to take over. They've offered the place. Serbia get beat about 60-0 by Holland and stuff. Imagine what they'd be like if they played England. It'd be about 200-300 nil. Like, it'd be ridiculous. Like, you can't do that to teams. It's like putting San Marino in the World Cup because England and Italy don't want to play in it. I don't know, mate.
I think the thing is, we talk about stakeholders in the game. Well, let's be honest, this World Cup is sold on Australia, New Zealand, England,
and Tonga,
you know, some of the home nations, except, you know, but New Zealand and Australia are the main selling point. Now, if you're a sponsor, you're sponsoring the World Cup and you want maximum exposure, you want the best teams in the world playing in that competition. And unfortunately, Rugby League, there ain't that many top teams in the world, is there? So if you take out two of them, it's not a very attractive, credible competition. And you know, can you imagine the scenario even if they did pull out and England didn't manage to win the World Cup? So yeah. I think it's more than just, you know, about, I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes. You know, you're talking about all the investment that's gone into hosting it. You know, people have invested because it's the top teams in the world. So I think there's an opportunity for it to be delayed. But, you know, what I would say is the International Rugby League calendar's almost non-existent, is it? So that the fact you can delay a World Cup again is probably a lot easier in Rugby League than it is any other sport.
Yeah, I do agree, mate. So let's see what happens. Obviously, we will finish, as always, on our tipping league. So these are the games. There's not many this week, obviously, with the two postponements. So we are filming this Thursday. It'll be released in about an hour or so. So 2 hours before Hull FC take on Huddersfield on Sky. Huddersfield are a bit crap, aren't they? I don't know what you'll get out of them. I mean, Hull haven't played for a few weeks. I'm going to say Huddersfield just because it's there. I mean, I'm hoping Sam Wood scores a few tries, takes his Huddersfield top on, and he has his Rovers shirt on for next year and kisses his badge. For me, mate, Huddersfield just. Let's go for it, Huddersfield.
Yeah, I think, I've been talking to some black and whites. And they've been not impressed with the style of rugby league, but I think that's obviously down to player unavailability, etc. You know, and they've been tipping this to be one of the worst Super League games in history just because of who's missing, who's not playing. But I think Huddersfield, you know, I think they'll probably just have enough to see him off the line.
Yeah. And then Liam Warrington's off, so we move down to tomorrow. So Leeds against Salford at Headingley. Two mismatched teams. You never know. There's no consistency, is there, in this division, especially with people dropping out, like we've already spoke about. But for me, I think Salford have won a few games now, but I still think they're still quite dire. So I think Leeds will pick up the 2 points and the wins on the point percentage.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that, mate. Totally agree, Leeds.
Perfect. And then Wigan and Warrington, and Wigan and Wakefield, sorry, at the DW, Wigan.
Yeah, I think Wigan have, maybe turned the corner a little bit.
Haven't they?
Yeah, they've picked up, and I think obviously, you know, they have got good players in that team, and I can't see anything other than a Wigan victory.
And then on the Saturday, obviously, I think it is 5 o'clock kickoff, Catalans against Hull Kingston Rovers. Can't watch it anywhere, guys. Can't listen to it. So just check all your social medias. We are watching it as well. So we will post as soon as the official one does. We'll do that again like we did for the Warrington game when it went anywhere. So for me, I really want to say Rovers, mate. I'd love it. I'd be more surprised if we pick up the victory than it was against Wigan. I just think at the minute, 5 weeks out, we've got nothing to lose. I'm hoping I'll always go for Rovers, but I won't be surprised if it wasn't.
Yeah, do you know what, mate? I'm pretty confident. I think we'll do really well, and I think we'll put some points past Catalan, and I'm going for Rovers victory. I'm quite confident.
Well, I hope you're all right, mate. Let's see. So yeah, guys, that is it for another episode of the Red Robin podcast. Like I just mentioned, Rovers are not playing in Merseyside this weekend. They are playing in the south of France against the Catalan Dragons. Follow all the Rovers social media pages and obviously us guys as well. We put it on so that, you know, it's updated and as quick as we can for you if you can't listen or watch like the rest of us. So I've been Joe Appleyard and Chris Johnson. We'll be back next week for another episode, and hopefully we will be travelling to Salford next Thursday. Fingers crossed. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy your weekend. Let's hope the Robins bring the 2 points home from the south of France. Bye, Chris.
Take care.